Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 245. It's the week of July 9th, 2017. I'd like to thank you for coming along, and I'd like to thank all returning listeners for coming back to listen to another episode of the show. And if you're a new listener, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast, and hopefully you'll check out additional episodes that you can find at ashlanddave.podbean.com. If you somehow got this episode through iTunes, if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, you will find episodes going back, I think, almost to 2008 when I started the podcast. I'm not sure if they go back that far, but they go back a lot farther than what the iTunes screen will allow. I'm Ashland Dave. I'm an ordinary nobody, middle of the pack ultra runner, and this episode is going to be about my recent finish at the Night Train Ultra Marathon 50K, which was in Farmville, Virginia, back on July 1st of 2017, a real hot day. I'm going to talk about that. Got a lot of audio clips from the race, which I think will be pretty cool, especially some of those clips in there. I got some good audio from the middle of the race and towards the end when, you know, you just get kind of mush brain and you can't really think that much. Learned a little bit, learned something new doing this race when I looked at some of the message board posts and stuff afterwards when I was trying to figure out where the results were going to be posted, and then they were going to put some photos up. And I learned that apparently there is some type of headlamp etiquette that is not, in addition to not, you know, intentionally shining your light right in somebody's face. Apparently, when you're on a trail and you're passing somebody, not from behind, but passing face to face, you know, passing each other on the trail, like one person's outbound, the other person's inbound. Apparently some people think you're supposed to cover up your headlamp, and I did see some of that on the trail. I wasn't really sure why I was seeing that. There were some times where you didn't see, you saw a real dim headlamp, and then you passed the person and it almost looked like they had it off. And then, I had never heard that before, and I'm certainly not against it, but, if you just, you know, face your headlamp down when you're passing somebody, it's not going to get in their face. I'm not really sure why you have to cover it up. But I was just curious if anybody knew anything about that. They could send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com and just let me know if they've ever encountered anything like that before. So my finishing time on the race was right around 7 hours, 7 hours and 52 seconds to be exact, according to the race results. That was good for 37th place out of 83, and of the 83, 15 were DNFs. So I guess 83. Oh, what's 83 minus 15? Is that not? I can't even do the math.
68.
So 68 finishers, and so 37th place out of that's not too bad. The winner ran an incredible 3 hours 59 minutes 43 seconds. That was Mike Fox. The race results don't have where anybody's from, so there's no way of knowing. Second place was 4 hours 13 minutes. It looked like first female was Joanna Rogers at 5 hours 20 minutes, second female being at 5 hours 24 minutes. So pretty incredible efforts all along because of the humidity. My hat's off to people that can run in the humidity with little to no discomfort or difficulty. The humidity for me, it just completely overcomes me. Now, the podcast episode 244 was called Can't Get Enough. And so this one's going to be called I've Had Enough, because after finishing that 50K and that heat, I have definitely had enough of hot weather running, and it is not long distances. So that's not something I'm going to, and I've told myself this and I've told other people that I just can't run in the heat. I don't know why I decided. Well, I know why I decided to run this race, because I had such a great experience back in April and I was still in decent shape, thinking I wouldn't have that much trouble with the distance. And I've done a 50K in the heat. I did the Dahlgren Heritage Trail some years ago. But I'm older now and I have more difficulty with the heat, but somehow I got through, which you'll be able to hear in the audio clips how I managed to do that. There's one clip, audio clip, that's a little, I never wanted to quit, but I wanted to quit. Like, mentally, I was kind of wanted to quit, but physically, I knew I could somehow get through it. But mentally, I was kind of quitting, if that makes any sense. And physically, I never wanted to give up. I knew I could just keep walking if I had to, and I'd get my mojo back. But mentally, it was really getting hard. And so there's an audio clip that I'll play here in a little bit where it gets a little confusion on whether, you know, who wants to quit and who doesn't. Like, you got the one Ashland Dave on one shoulder, then a different Ashland Dave on another shoulder, kind of like the movie Animal House, where, you know, didn't have to do with sex or anything. But you got one person telling you to quit and the other person telling you to keep going. And that's really, I guess, where the battle is for yourself. I'll talk a little bit about how this guy ran up to me at the end and passed me. And I'm not going to say his name, but let's just say that he came in 3 seconds ahead of me. And you can go to the race results. If you just look up Night Train 50K results, you can find it on the WebScore website. I don't know who this guy is, but you'll hear in the last audio clip, but he tells me, "Nice race, bro." And I don't know who he thought I was racing. I wasn't racing him. I mean, I was racing myself, and I was, you know, I guess to some point racing the clock, because you want to obviously get in before the cutoffs, and there was a very easy cutoff for this race, so I wasn't in any risk of not getting that. But, you know, at the end, I'm looking for the finish line, and then you'll hear in the audio clip that this guy just comes up and passes me at the end, sprinting towards the finish. And, you know, I don't know if he thought there were age group awards or whatever, or maybe he just saw, you know, me up ahead of the trail, and his goal was to catch up to me. But, I mean, dude, this wasn't a 5K. This was a 50K. You know, you invest 7 hours of your life out on this thing, not to mention the training that you're doing for it. And then you're going to go up and sprint and pass somebody at the end just to get to get into 36th place. There's no way any of us knew where we were in the race, because we didn't know how many people dropped, and we didn't know. You kind of lose track when you do the out and backs, who's where. And at one point in one of the audio clips, I do say that I think I'm fifth from the end, but that was never the case. It just seemed that way. But I had a little, I don't know, I got a problem with that when somebody does that. And I guess just to analyze this a little bit before we get into the audio clips. In an ultra marathon, which now I've done, of the 33 marathons I've done, 17 are ultras, and then 16 are regular length marathons. I've now, before this race, it was 16 and 16, and now I've done more ultras than marathons. And my last marathon was actually back in 2013. So as you can see, I've kind of really got into the, you know, this 50K and 50 mile distance is something that I'm pursuing. You know, in an ultra marathon, sometimes you catch up to other people, or they catch up to you, and you work some miles together, and that's where you form friendships, or sometimes you see people from other races, and or you make a connection with somebody. And so what you don't do is you don't then, when you get close to the finish line, then sprint ahead of that person. It's just kind of an etiquette, I guess, like the headlamp etiquette. It's you know, you're working to help them, and then they're going to sprint, and vice versa. And between the two of y'all, usually you can figure out who's hurting more than the other, because usually people are going to express that. And so, you know, it's pretty crappy that then when you see the finish line, to go up and sprint to the finish and beat the person that basically just carried your ass. You know, it's just a very uncool thing to do. Well, this guy who came in 36th place, I didn't know who he was. I mean, it was dark. I didn't know who was behind me. I didn't see anybody at aid stations. I might have passed him at one point in time and just not realized at an aid station, not realized it. You know what? I did pass several people on the trail when I was inbound. There were some really hurting people out there. And maybe he just focused on me wanting to pass me, but we were so close to the finish line when he passed me. I mean, the finish line was within sight. You could hear almost hear the people cheering, the few people that were at the finish line waiting for people to finish. And then to have some guy sprint past you to, you know, hog the finish line, whereas you could have, I'm not even sure if I'm right on this, but usually in ultras, a lot of times you either run in with somebody else, or you're by yourself when you cross the finish line, so you have a little bit of it to yourself, or you're sharing it with somebody else. It's very rare that you sprint past somebody else when the finish line is in sight just to beat them. I mean, like I said, this is a 50K. This is not a 5K where you're going to have, you know, still have energy. You know, if this guy had all that energy, why didn't he finish up in 20th place? You know, he should have been running a lot faster if he had all that energy at the end. So I'm just kind of curious to know what people think about that. You can send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. This is the question. In an ultra marathon, when there's, you know, we just figured out 68 people running the whole thing, okay, 15 drops. So you're dealing with 68 people out on the course. I'm coming in at 36th place here, 36. Now it's 37th. And at what point in time is it cool to go out, to go up there and sprint past somebody when the finish line is in reach and you're finished, you're just finished running 31.7 miles or you're getting ready to finish? How cool is it to go then sprint past somebody who is, you know, trotting to the finish line, looking forward to, you know, finishing, and then to have somebody sprint past them and kind of, be a dick about that? So that's the question. Is that cool to do, or should you just maintain your position? I mean, I know it is a race, but it's not a regular race. I mean, this is 50 kilometers, and there's no prizes. There's no age group awards. And here's the funny thing. We weren't even going to beat 7 hours. Now, I can understand if it was 6 hours, 59 minutes, 30 seconds, and if you got 7 hours in your mind and all of a sudden you realize if you sprint, you can make it, I'm all for that. But this guy came in at 7 hours, 49 seconds, okay? I came in at 7 hours, 52 seconds. So you see how close we were to the finish line when he ran past me and how uncool it was. And then he told me at the end, nice race, bro. And I just thought to myself, well, I wasn't racing you. I mean, I came out here to finish in a race against myself, in a race against the course. So maybe he was racing me. I don't know. So I'd be curious to know if anybody has any opinions on that. Dr. Smitty was out there. It was really cool. He had a couple friends come up from the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake area, Ryan and Annalisa. Unfortunately, they dropped at just over the halfway mark. And I saw them drop, and they were very encouraging for when I kept going. And it was really cool to have Dr. Smitty out there. My wife was my crew, Monica, along with my daughter, and we have had a Spanish exchange student named Irati. And they helped out for a little bit on the first couple crew access points, and then just kind of really got out of the way, and Monica handled most of the stuff. And Dr. Smitty got himself a 10-mile run out there on High Bridge and was around for most of the day. And then I got a couple beers from him at the end, which was really cool. It was very cool to see him. Actually ran into him out on the street in Farmville. Farmville is a small town in Virginia, about 8,000 people. It's got a university there called Longwood University, so the population goes up significantly when the school is there. It's a really cool small town. I really like it a lot. It's a little bit bigger than Ashland, so it's got a couple more downtown block areas, and we definitely want to go back and check that out some more. I really did like it. And Dr. Smitty had gotten up there a little early, and I was actually sitting on the street eating a hamburger. This was around 3 o'clock, and the race started at 5 p.m. And this guy was walking up the street. I'm thinking, God, that guy looks a lot like Greg. And it turned out it was him. He's wearing a hat. So I'm not used to seeing him wear a hat. So we hung out for a while there until the race started. And he was very helpful and just encouraging. And it was just really cool to see him. And my wife did a great job crewing me. Did a bunch of sock changes. Had some foot problems with a little bit of blistering. Only because it was just so wet. I could not keep my feet dry to where the skin would not blister. It was just impossible to keep them totally dry with four sock changes over the course of 7 hours. Then, of course, there's a lot of the history regarding High Bridge, which I went over with in a previous podcast when I was talking about why I was going to do the race and some of the Civil War history involving that. The battle for High Bridge was held on August 6th of 1865. It was where the Confederate troops were retreating south across the Appomattox River. And they had an order to burn the bridge, but that order was delayed. Federal troops were able to get across. And then, if you know anything about history, 3 days later was the surrender at Appomattox Courthouse, which was not that far from Farmville. So the Confederates didn't fare too well after crossing over. And so High Bridge is over that same Appomattox River in a floodplain. It's half a mile long. It's about 100 feet above the ground at some points. And it's just really pretty, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to get some pictures posted at ashlanddave.podbean.com so you can, in fact, I'm going to make a note in my show notes here so I can make sure I post those. So make sure you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, and I'll post some pictures on the website there to give you an idea of what the bridge looks like. So let's listen to some of the audio clips to kind of give you an idea of what the race was like. The first clip is Dan, I think it's Pulliscamp is how his name is pronounced. Let's see if I can. He does two other races. One's called the Dogwood 12 Hour, which is April 22nd. That's at Pocahontas State Park, which is south of the Richmond metro area. It's a 12-hour race, and then there's a 10-miler he also has. That's a loop course, and it's kind of hilly. And then he also does one called the Piedmont 8-hour, which is in mid-November. I did that one last year and did a whole podcast on that. You can just go back to ashlanddave.podbean.com and go look up that podcast if you're interested. I think it's called Piedmont 8-hour. It's P-I-E-D-M-O-N-T. That was probably one of the best, most fun I've had in an ultra since the most fun I've had at the previous ultra. So it was just really cool. I went out there. That was one of the few races I've done in my running career where I've driven out to the race by myself and then came home by myself. Ashland Tom was supposed to accompany me for that one, but he had gotten sick and couldn't do it. So go back and check that out if you want. But Dan does a good job with these races. And I can't train through the summer anymore. Otherwise, I'd probably be interested in the Piedmont one again. But you know, maybe a spring race. Maybe this Dogwood 12 hour is not so bad. I don't know if I could get 50 miles in 12 hours. I know I could get 50K and get another ultra finish. So just something to think about. And so he's the one that does the race instructions, which we'll listen to, and then we'll get into some of the audio clips from the race. And then I'll have some additional commentary plus the email bag section of the show after we're done with the audio clips. So hope you enjoy these.
Everyone can hear me, right? Dumb question. I have a microphone.
All right, thank you everyone for coming out and running the first, hopefully, annual Night Train 50K.
The number, yes, 199.
Yes. Just wanted to go over a couple of things. First of all, be careful out there. There are other people using the trail. You might encounter people on horseback. You might encounter bicyclists. Obviously, use caution at all road crossings. A couple of safety pieces. Approximately 3 miles out, you will cross River Road. There is a Cumberland County Sheriff's deputy out there with his car. It's a country road. People go a little fast. Exercise caution when you go across, but he is out there. Same thing at any other road crossings. All right. And about 5 miles that way, you're going to cross High Bridge. That's the most scenic portion of the course. It's about a half mile long bridge that's 100 feet over the Appomattox River. If you want to have a camera and take pictures, that's probably a good place to do it. Just past the bridge will be the Camp Paradise unmanned water station. So it's like 5.1, 5.2 miles. It'd be just water out there, water and ice. You're welcome to help yourself to that. 8.2 total miles out is the Rice Aid Station. That is where you will turn around and come back to us. Rice will have fruit, peanut butter and jelly, Gatorade, or heat, water, Pepsi, ginger ale, that sort of thing. Make sure you check in at Rice. Each aid station where there are people, you need to check in and make sure that we check you in. If you decide to drop, need to let someone know that you have dropped, otherwise I'm going to be out there on the course looking for you. Prizes will be first, second, and third, male and female. They will be awarded upon finish, and there will also be finishers awards for everyone that finishes. Once you come back here, this is mile about 16.4. You pass here, there's an aid station here. You keep going that way, 5.7 miles to Tuggle. Once you get to Tuggle, there's an aid station and bathrooms there. You will keep going past Tuggle, 2 miles past Tuggle. You will turn around at Oliver Road. There are signs and cones and reflective taping out there. If you run past that, those bonus miles are on you. All right? I mean, do it if you want, but, you know, it's pretty obvious. So, 2 miles past Tuggle, turn around, come back. You'll pass Tuggle, 5.7 miles back here to the finish. Any questions? Okay, so you'll want to have, I make it mandatory that anyone, once you come back here, you need to have a headlamp. So once you reach the halfway point, you need to have a headlamp. Even some of my faster folks, I'd rather you make sure you grab a headlamp as you come through here just in case something happens. So first 16, after that, you need to have a headlamp. someone not signed a waiver.
Doesn't sound like the best is necessary.
Sign. All right. In terms of families and wanting to access your runners, again, there is parking. Please use the parking. Please do not just park on the side of a road and try and access your runner. There are parking lots at River Road, Camp Paradise, Rice, Puggle, and here. Access your runners there. You really want to see them, the best place is at Camp Paradise. In the bridge. No other questions? We'll start in 5 minutes. Oh, last thing. Does anyone have bags that they want to go to Tuggle?
All right, so that was the race director given just kind of final instructions. As you can see, he's pretty chilled out, pretty calm person. So the remainder of the audio clips are from the race itself. I think I checked in about every – tried to check in with my recorder about every 5 miles to record some thoughts that I could put later in the podcast. So that's what is next. And most of the clips I'm walking. Walking was a big part of today. I had a illusion that I would finish in like 6 hours and 20 minutes. You'll hear me talk about that. Trying to do 5 miles an hour, which I just knew wasn't going to work. I think after 10 miles, I just knew it wasn't going to work. Turns out, I think I hit the 10 mile mark at 2 hours and 3 minutes. So I was pretty close to that, but I knew I was going to be dropping it. It was so hard to run in the oppressive heat. I don't know how talented people do it. I know some people can run where the heat doesn't affect them. It just, that's not me. So I like cooler weather running, even though I live in Virginia. I don't mind the heat. It's just, it's running and exercising in it that's hard. So so the remainder of the audio clips are from the race, checking in periodically with time and related commentary.
All right, I'm 4.5, getting ready to get on the high bridge. Oh, it's beautiful. It's about a half mile long over the Appomattox River in the floodplain. It's 2,400 feet in length and 60 to 125 feet above the water. It's beautiful. I'll take a few pictures, try to get them up. All right, 7 miles in, 21, hour 21. Still really hot. Very, very hot. Okay, 1 hour 45 in, actually 1:44:56. 6:44 p.m., 8.6 miles. The goal was to do 5 miles an hour. I met that the first hour. I won't make it the second hour. That would have put me finishing time around maybe 6 hours 20 minutes, something like that, 6 hours 15 minutes. That's if I was able to extrapolate that out. That was what I started with, like in my head. And then as I see how the conditions affect my mood and the fact that I'm about five people from last place is what it seems like now, although there's still some people behind me. I'm inbound now back to the start, if you can imagine. A straight line, for the most part, going east and west. Start finish is kind of in the middle. You go to the east, 8.2, come back to the start finish, and then go back out, whatever the remainder of the distance is. So my mood's improved a little bit. I saw my crew change my socks, feeling a little better. All right, this should be interesting. 10 miles at 2 hours 3 minutes, almost on the dot. Like I said, the goal was 5 miles an hour. So I'm only 3 minutes off that, third of the way through the race, a little under third of the way through. So it's not getting any hotter, it's just not getting any cooler. So it's really a race against myself. And it'll be interesting to see if I win or lose. All right, getting close to 15 miles, 3 hours, 5 minutes. So still just a few minutes behind my 5 miles per hour goal pace, which frankly, I think it's pretty remarkable that I'm even close to that at this point with the heat conditions. It's about 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock p.m. So the sun has gone down. There's 15. So the sun has gone down behind the trees at 16.4 is an aid station, and I'll be picking up my headlamp there. to head out westbound for the duration, which I almost the halfway point. I've really ebbed and flowed. I've got to some dark spots where it's just so hot, my brain just shuts the legs off to a walk. And then I have these other patches where I just motor on for the duration of the mile. And then, like right now, just pretty content with walking. And I mean, I'm enjoying myself, you know. Got my family out here, my dog. What's not to like, you know, the heat. But I think when I'm done with this race, that's it for anything close to 20 miles till out no win. I guess I'll have had enough after this race. Pretty brutal conditions. All right, I'm going to motor on a little bit. All right, I'm over halfway. I'm almost 4 hours in, 3 hours, 56 minutes in. Looks like 8.5, I can't tell, miles. So I've gotten obviously behind the 5 miles an hour, which I'm not worried about anymore. I mean, deep down in my head, I'm still thinking about it, but it's not a realistic time goal at this point. Because of the heat conditions, one positive thing, at least for me, but not for a couple other people, I met two of Dr. Smitty's friends from, I guess, the Chesapeake area, and they dropped it. The 16.4 mile mark, which was the start finish area, and I happen to know they're in the early 30s, so I'm 48 and I'm gonna motor on, and I've been getting attacked by bugs. Beautiful sunset, headed out westbound now, almost at 18 miles, I think at 22.7 is the next aid station at a place called Tuggle. I'll see my family there. What I'm doing is I'm carrying two, I guess they're 16-ounce water bottles. Got water and Succeed. Carrying two. Got the headlamp. And then the funny thing is I have a secondary flashlight, which I got in my little waist pouch. But if I'm carrying two bottles, I'm not sure how I'm going to carry that secondary light if I need it. So hopefully I won't need it. Hopefully my headlamp will brighten up the trail enough. I did put new batteries in it. Had a slice of pizza and a quesadilla at the last aid station. I'm feeling kind of bloated right now, so I think it's wise just to walk. Let the food digest before I start running again. It's just a complete sweat fest. The sun is almost set. It's well, it's almost 9 p.m. I guess it has set, but the sky is kind of reflecting, but the trees are kind of forming a canopy over the trail, so it's hard to see the sunset. All right, 5 hours, 1 minute in, 22 and a half miles. I got a major lift at the last aid station at Tuckle. I saw my wife. So now I got a 2 miles out and back to Tuckle, so I'm told her I'd be gone at least an hour. Getting some good half-mile runs, quarter-mile walk. Running real slow, though. I mean, if you want to call that running. I am definitely getting my money's worth out here. And if there was any doubt that I would find this hard, there is no longer any doubt. I am struggling. But I guess you could say I'm having fun. This is what having fun is, right? In ultras. It's pitch black, got the headlamps on. All right, about 10:16 p.m. My watch says 5 hours 17 minutes in. I'm at 27.7 miles. No, I can't read. 23.7. I've been playing this little game where I run until I pass somebody going the opposite direction, then I walk. And then what was happening, so many people were coming the opposite direction, it was just plumb wearing me out. And I'm already plumb wore out. So, you know, when I started today, I was hoping to have a little race structure. That completely went out the window. So now it's just a matter of survival. Hey, good job, man. Good job. And right now it's just a matter of survival. I not disappointed. I'm hoping for a 7-hour finish. It might be a little after that, so that would put me at midnight, I think. I think that's possible. I mean, I've got, well, I don't know. Probably not. Not if I'm 5 hours and 18 minutes in now. I mean, it's 1 hour and 40 to go. Oh, 8? I don't know if that's possible. I guess it would be if I was running. So, there's no more structure. It's a complete free-for-all. It's all kinds of mental games going on in my head. That's why I devised this game of run until you pass the headlamp. And then, like I said, there were so many coming. Or they weren't spaced out enough where it just plumb wore me out. I mean, the trail is pretty linear, but you really don't see the headlamps until, you know, so far out. So here comes one. I'm going to start running and see if I can get it. Some people don't have them. I can't believe they're running out here and I can't see nothing. Okay, I'm inbound. 5 hours, 23 minutes, almost 24. 24.2 miles. It's 10:22 p.m. I've got 7 miles to go. And if I can do that in 1 hour and 36 minutes, I think I'll break 7. So that's my new goal. Like I said, there's no structure. The turnaround, the sign said night train ultra turnaround. You're running bonus miles if you pass this sign. And the race director said that at the beginning. I think I got that audio clipped in the podcast. So, I'm inbound. I'm going to make it. Now, earlier I was talking about running against yourself. I'm not sure if I mentioned that or not, but I've got a couple thoughts on that here in just a second. Getting ready to pass somebody, so I'm going to run. Not even 100 yards, man.
Yeah, man.
Not even 100 yards.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, so I passed the headlamp so I can finish. So, Ashley and Dave wanted to quit. Ashley and Dave was really having a hard time competing against Ashley and Dave number 2. And Ashley and Dave was getting the best of them. But it looks like Ashley and Dave might win today. All right. It's 11, I think 13 p.m. Be at 28 miles here in a second. 6 hours, 14 minutes in. Oh, it is still a free-for-all. Although, making good progress. I have mentally not wanted to give up. Well, actually, Dave did want to quit. But I got into a little bit of a rhythm here in the last few miles. You know, because you're inbound, final inbound, finish line, not too far away. Not exactly sure where it is. It's might be 3.7, it's 28 miles, so might be 3.7 from here. So I might get inside 7 hours, not sure. That's a nice, you know, nice top of the hour type of thing, you know, midnight. But it might not happen. If it doesn't, it's okay. It is just brutally hot. I've done, I think, 4 sock changes. I've got a pretty healthy blister on my third biggest toe on my left foot, and then a pretty healthy one on my second big toe on my right foot. They haven't popped, but I put some Vaseline over them. I mean, they were at the point where I could feel them, but that's kind of to be expected on a day like today where the humidity is just, it's like oppressive, and there's no air moving at all. So the only way to get air moving is to start running, which is what I'm going to do now. All right, we're getting there. All right, 6 hours, 39 minutes, almost to 30 miles. I don't know if it's 1.7 to the finish or 1.4, because my math is off from what the website said, the math I did from the website calculations to what someone said at the last aid station when they said 5.7 from Tuggle. Well, I know it was 5.72 Tuggle, I think. Seems like it was a little short, at least on my Garmin. So that's what I'm kind of hoping now. Best thing about right now is that the trail is, you know, an elevated rail trail, and there's 30 miles. And there's traffic on down below, so we know we're getting close to Farmville back to the start-finish. It's been a hell of a journey. We got 19 minutes, 40 seconds to go mile 0.7 or mile 0.4. At this point, it doesn't really matter that much. It's going to be a midnight finish, right around midnight. And that's good enough for today. It's been a hell of a ride. Yeah, I've had enough. Yeah, I've had enough. I'll get to the finish in a little bit. All right, I'm just a minute or so from the finish. 11:57 p.m. The stopwatch there was a full minute ahead. Kind of weird. So, right at 7 hours. Right at 7. Hardest thing was today. I'm grateful for the finish. Where's this damn finish line? I gotta be getting close. I do not see the finish. I'm gonna walk a little bit. Okay. I see people. People milling around. I think that's it. Yeah. That is it. I can see something blinking, which is the pedestrian sign that is right there at the finish line. Oh. Thank God this is my servant Jesus. Thanks for riding shotgun with me. And some guy just passes me on the feet from the end.
So I believe that was my wife Monica saying "get it" right there at the end, and then of course a lot of that last audio clip, it was kind of hard to hear. But what happened was the guy passed me right at the end, and then told me "good race, bro" right after the finish line because we were only 3 seconds apart. I don't know if he felt better for doing that or not. It made me feel bad about him because it just, I don't know. I would not do that to somebody in a 50K race. I don't know. Maybe I look at ultra marathons as more. I don't know. And I learned about headlamp etiquette, which John Price will be proud. So, Dr. Smitty, if you see John down there, tell him that I've learned about headlamp etiquette in reference to that. So yeah, 7 hour finish under 7:01. I think I said 7 hours 52 seconds. And the reason that's significant is because I'm not a 7 hour 50K runner, but I am. I mean, my personal best for the 50K distance is 5 hours 41 minutes. That was at the Charlotte Ultra. Completely different conditions, except for the terrain. It was a flat course, but it was in February, so there was. In Charlotte, North Carolina, so there was no heat to deal with at all. Matter of fact, 1 year it was rain, which was pretty easy to deal with. But the humidity is just really something else. And as you can see, for my ability level, because this whole podcast is all reference to my ability level, I'm a 4.5 to 4.75 hour regular marathoner. So that's where I am in the marathon spectrum when you look at times. So a 7 hour 50K finish for me is pretty ideal for these conditions. I am actually pleased with my performance. A little disappointed that I was overcome by the heat so much, but what can you do about that? There was absolutely nothing I could change about that. One thing that was the best for me though was my crew support. They were there every time I needed them with a nice washcloth, my chair, clean socks, you know, filled up my water bottles. Dr. Smitty helped with that. After Dr. Smitty went out for his run, he came back and I saw him at the halfway mark, but Monica was just great. And after a while, the kids finally just sat in the car because I guess they got kind of bored. You know, ultra marathons, when there's only, 68 people left, aren't really that exciting for people who are teenagers. But each time that I was at an aid station or at a crew access point where I did not see the kids, I found the car. And this is probably where I lost a lot of time. I found the car in the parking lot, and at this point I had my headlamp on. I went to found the car and went and scared them, and then, you know, would go on down the trail. And then when I was on the High Bridge trail itself, I stopped and took pictures, read the historical markers. I mean, maybe lost 5 minutes in that whole thing. Outbound High Bridge, I stopped and took in the scenery, and then even inbound, I stopped and took in the scenery because I was out there really to see that. And it was kind of funny how at the end it mattered for this 7-hour golden finish time that seemed to matter all of a sudden at the end to me. And then this guy that came in 36th place, whose name I'm not going to mention, but you can go to the you can Google Night Train Ultra Marathon 50K and find out the results and find his name. I don't call people out, but I'll tell you how you can figure out who they are. Maybe you know him. I doubt he listens to the podcast, but if he does, I tell you what, if you happen to listen to the podcast and you are the one that came in and ran right up and finished 3 seconds ahead of me after running for 7 hours, because it was that important, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com and just tell me why you did that, because I'm just curious. I don't know why people do it. I think I know why. You just get it fixed in your head. Maybe it was his first 50K. But the ultra marathon type of event is for unique people who don't really do that to each other, I guess is what I'm saying. At least that's been my experience with it, and so that's why I'm kind of making a big deal out of it, because it's my podcast and I can do that. And it turns out it was 1.7 miles to the end when I had 19 minutes to do that. It was not 1.4. So after, 6.5 hours of running, 6 hours, 40 minutes of running, trying to cover 1.7 miles in 19 minutes is really not that easy. Before we get to the email bag section of the show, I just want to mention the finisher's trophy for finishing. You know, everybody wins when you finish a ultra marathon. Was a magnet, another cool magnet. And I don't know if Midlo Pete, I don't think he came to the race, because I would have tried to do a meetup with him, or maybe I would have heard from him. I didn't get any emails or anything. Although there is one entry in the results with a guy first named Pete, but I don't think that is Pete's last name. So yeah, Pete, it was same type of magnet, but with a little more detail. And what it was, the finisher's magnet, not a finisher's medal, but a finisher's magnet, which is of course on my refrigerator because I'm really proud of my effort there. It looks like it's kind of like the historical rectangular magnet that you would get from like the High Bridge Trail Park visitors gift shop at the visitor center. And then it has the Night Train Ultra Marathon logo in the lower corner. And I'm not sure how he arranged all that or whatever, but it's really cool. And of course it's on the fridge. And then he also had boxes of Red Eye cookies. And so my wife took one of those. I did not have a cookie. I was all out of sorts at the end. I didn't do my traditional vomiting, but it just took me quite a while to settle down. It was just so humid that I felt like my body had kind of transformed into this being that was just living in humidity for all day, because I never went in any air conditioning. And then when the race was over, I didn't have to cope with that anymore. So it was kind of strange. So overall, good experience. Although, like I said before, I've had enough of the hot weather running. I'm going to stick to training through the fall, the winter, and do spring ultras, and I'll find something somewhere next spring. I'm not sure where, but I'll be out there and doing another one. Got the Patrick Henry Half Marathon coming up late August, then I have the Richmond Half in the fall. I can handle these, 8 to 10 to 11 milers, even in the humidity, because you know there's an end to the suffering. But, you know, for 7 hours out there, this can't be part of my life, where these are the things that I do, and I wonder if I'm going to end up in the emergency room or not. It's just, I can't do that kind of stuff. But I'm glad I finished. So marathon 33, ultra number 17. Wow, I can't believe I've gotten to that point. All right. Well, I do have some cool emails from listeners, and I'd like to share some of those with everybody. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. Please write in if you listen to the show and have something to say. I generally just like the positive feedback. I'm not looking to improve the show or for anything negative. I try to keep things very positive, even though I was a little grumpy about how I got, you know, clipped there at the end and the end of the race. But you know, everybody has their own ultra in their head, and they all have their, everybody has their own cross to bear. Let's just put it that way. But write in, let me know where you're from. Let me know what you do. And if, you know, where you listen, you know, where you hail from. So AshlandDave@gmail.com. So let's get into the email bag section of the show. See who checked in this week. All right. Well, before I get to the emails that other people sent me, let me get to the email that I sent myself to remind myself to do a major shout out to a loyal listener who has never checked in because it's really not necessary. It's one of my neighbors. It's actually the wife of Ashland Bryan. I'm talking about Rebecca. Rebecca is apparently, according to Bryan, a loyal listener to the show. And she was actually on the show indirectly several years ago when I used to do some audio clips from actual run segments. And one time I passed her and said hello, and she then heard that show later. I think I mentioned this before. She and her family did like a binge listen one time when they were traveling through some western states, Utah and some other states. So apparently she listens to the show every time. So I want to do a major shout out to Rebecca. Glad to have you as a listener. Glad to have you a listener from the very beginning. And thanks for lending our running group, Ashland Bryan, for our weekly runs. They've really become, well, they have been for a long time, but it's a big part of my life having my group run on the weekend with my buddies. So thanks for lending your husband for that, and thanks for listening to the show. It's always always good to know that there's people out there listening to the show. It's really appreciated. So thanks. Heard from Down Under Dave, wishing me the best for the upcoming 50K-er, actually, not the 50-miler. He's, unfortunately, has, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that Down Under Dave lives in Flinders, Tasmania, Down Under, near Australia. And his running mate, his dog Susie, is having an operation for an ACL. And the vet told him it'd be at least a year before his dog is back to normal, and doubtful that the dog will actually be able to run. So it's very sad for him. We had a little discussion about podcasts in reference to the last episode. He listens to Limetown series as well as True Case Files, both of which I have made notes of to check out. He said the True Case Files has some pretty bad stuff, but I might be used to that, I guess. And he said he also does some history podcasts, but they get a bit heavy. In reference to the True Case Files, that's obviously police stuff. Dave, I do child exploitation cases. So, yeah, there's some pretty bad stuff on there, but usually stuff in those kinds of cases don't make it to podcasts. So usually it's homicide stuff or other missing persons or other weird stuff that probably the stuff that I do is not appropriate for podcasts. And if you're if anybody is interested in child exploitation podcasts, then that would be a very interesting and weird person. So he's going to listen to more podcasts now that he's friendless out on the trails of Flinders Island. Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the well wishes for the 50K. As you know, it did go well. Appreciate the email. I think there's another one in the email bag from you. I'll get to that in just a minute. Heard from Lummix, my friend out of Annapolis, my ultra friend. He says, he just listened to some back-to-back Ashland Dave podcasts, the Michigan recap and the Down Under Dave interview. He said both were good shows. He says he's really grateful for the podcast because it allows him to stay connected to me in a way, a virtual sense. Jim and I are good friends, Lummix and Jim are the same person. He said it'd be nice if I could just walk over, have a beer to discuss things on a regular basis, especially after listening to a podcast, but unfortunately Ashland is landlocked. What that means is Jim has a boat and sounds like he'd be willing to drive over to my house in his boat if he could get to the center of the universe on his boat. He says most of the time he thinks of a list of things he wants to ask about. Of course, he always forgets after the time the run is over. Runner's mind, short-term memory issues are thinking about that sale I shot. Some son of a bitch don't want to buy land. Somebody don't want what I'm selling. Those are quotes from the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, which if you have not seen, you should definitely watch Glengarry Glen Ross. It's got a cast of stars. And then the motivational speech might be one of the best movie scenes I've ever seen in a drama. So good to hear from you there, Lummix. Appreciate that a whole lot, as always. And it's nice to have you check in and listen to the show. Heard from Thomas, another loyal listener to the show. Always somebody that I appreciate hearing from. And he says that my comment about being a participant who competes against oneself, if that person consistently wins or loses, he says that was quite witty. I think he says he's going to turn that into a tweet and attribute to me. So what I need to do, Thomas, I guess, is find you on Twitter. And then, because I do have a Twitter, Ashlyn Dave, at Ashlyn Dave. I just don't use it that much. I use it mostly just to receive information, not to put out information, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I should start tweeting. But you know what I find is that people are always apologizing for their tweets. Not for what they say, but for what they tweet. So I don't want to be one of those. So maybe I won't tweet because I don't ever want to have to. I don't know. People. It just seems like people who tweet end up apologizing. But anyway, back to Thomas's email. He likes podcasts as well as I do, and he gave me a whole list of stuff, which I'm very appreciative of. So, Thomas, thank you so much. I got to check some of those out. That's a lot. So I'm going to maybe methodically kind of go through those and see what appeals to me and then maybe adopt a few. Because I'm trying to get away from the political action podcasts. And that, well, actually, I have. I don't even listen to them anymore. I have gotten away from them. So we're talking about the odors also. Remember in the last show, he thought there are certain inserts you can put in instead of the stock ones to alleviate the smell. He's going to put some information together on that. And he started to think, well, maybe it's a body chemistry thing. He says he uses his shoes for hundreds of miles, wet, dry, and never has odors. And I just think that what it is, it's my feet sweat so much. There's so much moisture in the shoes that I just don't think it gets out. And then I think it's just the fungus and bacteria that grows in there. I'm not really sure. I think I have another email from him in here somewhere that I can check out. Get rid of that one. So, yeah, the whole list of podcasts, appreciate that. I'm going to skip that because I already read that one. The odor inserts, and then he says he uses, this is Thomas again, he uses the Dr. Scholl's Active Sport and Running insoles. They're about $15, and they really add some cushioning. So, I don't know what to do. I've tried some different things. The shoes just stay outside now. Maybe I'm just not gonna, maybe it's just something I got to deal with, you know, that's just one of the grosser parts of running is just having to deal with that. I'm not sure. So, I appreciate the advice, Thomas. I might check out some of that stuff and see it. Maybe the powder, putting powder in the shoes afterwards wouldn't be so bad too. Okay. So heard from Down Under Dave again. He wants we're going to get him a sticker and we're going to get him a copy of the latest DVD, which is going to be Tom's 100-mile effort. And then he'll do a donation to the charity in Ashland, which is the Ashland Christian Emergency Services, ACES. So what that does, that allows me to bring up that again. I do, if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, I've made several running videos. These are like DVD movies, amateur movies, but pretty decent quality. The kind that you can put in your DVD player and sit back and watch them for 45 minutes to an hour, okay? Ultra movies about my experiences and then friends of mine that I've gone out and I've documented their experiences. They're amateur movies, but you're not going to get dizzy watching them, you know, with the running around with the camera going all over the place. And so go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, scroll back several episodes back, and you'll find it. And what I'll do is I'll scroll back now and tell you the actual... It's episode number 235 that I put out in December of 2016. And you can go through there, and if you're interested in any of those videos from any of those efforts, okay? And what you do is you email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Give me your address. I send you the video, and it's up to you whether you make a donation to the charity that I support here in Ashland. It's completely up to you. I've always found that runners are honest. And I don't check in with the people at ACES, but I have heard from them. they initiate the contact because somebody tells them that there's somebody at AshlandDave@gmail.com is the one that initiated this suggestion to donate. So then they send me an email at that and say, hey, we appreciate it. So it's kind of a cool thing. I'm not doing it for any recognition. I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do. And the Ashland Christian Emergency Services charity is something that helps us in the Ashland and Hanover area. When we, as law enforcement, we encounter people who are truly get stranded. Not because they're using drugs, but because they get screwed. They have no money hardly, and their car has an accident, and they have no money for a hotel. It's a short-term solution. It's not a long-term support thing. It's kind of a short-term thing. But there's some other programs they have where they try to help people more long-term. But some of the donations are really for just people who get stranded in this area. And because what happens is Route 1 comes through Ashland, the number one highway, and just Google historic Route 1, and you'll see what, you know, we get different types of people that come through Ashland sometimes, and sometimes they're interesting, sometimes they're a nuisance. Anyway, Dave, I will take care of that. You will get the video, and you will get the sticker. That's the We Surge sticker from Alex out in Phoenix. Also, Sandy wrote in. She wants a sticker, which I'm going to send to her as well, now that I'm going through the email bag section of the show. And she said she's going to look up that Shit Town podcast as well. She said she took a news hiatus a few years back as well when she and her husband were living in an RV for 10 weeks and doing some traveling. And they just weren't turning the TV on unless it was to check the weather. And so they kind of just had a new lifestyle, watching more streaming programs as opposed to whatever was being broadcast over media. She says she only listens to podcasts when she drives her car. She rarely ever turns on a radio station. And that's kind of cool. And that's one of the reasons I think I like Derek and Sandy so much is because they're just really in tune with some of the things that are important in life. And I've already done a whole podcast about my whole trip up there. I can't rehash it here because I can just go on and on and on and on. But she did put she's got a new initiative where she's going to run all the streets in her town. And she's got a blog on her, she's got a post on her blog called theultrafreak.blogspot.com, which I'm going to link at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And that way you can check that. And I want to do that too. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do that, but I think it's a really cool thing to do. And she's got all these other people doing it that she knows through Facebook or contemplating the idea. She has a dozen of her friends doing it all over the country. That she's hooked in with lots of different people in the country when it comes to ultra running. So she's actually a good person to kind of ride her coattails because she can open up lots of contacts for me when I travel and do different races. And we joked about, which the next time I travel and do something like that, because I joked about the last time I did that race in Maryland or in Michigan, and she said that she knew people there and the Pottawatomie Trail, or it's called Trail Marathon, and I joked with her and said I should have carried a sign that said I know Sandy Steiner, come talk to me, or something like that, and I probably would have made some new friends there. So we had a little bit of a joke about that. She knows people all over the country, which is so cool. So Sandy, I'll get you one of those stickers. That'll be happening here real soon. I'm going out of town for a few days, but it'll be happening here real soon. She also had another suggestion for stinky shoes. Called the Two Tom Stink Spray, which, this is her story. She says she bought some in Charlottesville, Virginia. She needed it because she'd done two marathons in one weekend, rained nonstop for both races. She had put her clothes and shoes in a trash bag as they were soaking wet. They sat in the trash bag for 3 days until she was able to wash them. It was hot and humid. She says she just about passed out when she opened up the trash bag. She washed the clothes for 4 times, couldn't get the funk out. She thought the shoes were going to have to be thrown out. Then she worked. Then she tried the Two Tom Stink Spray, and it worked like a charm. She got the stink out, and she was able to keep her running shoes too. So that might be the thing for me, just like you said, Sandy. And I'm going to keep that email too because I'll be revisiting that. I heard from Phil Min. He said I knew it was hot and humid for the 50K. He's waiting for the report. So, Phil, that is going to be posted tonight. So, here on July 9th, the podcast will go up. And Phil, I appreciate you listening to the show. Of course, heard from Down Under Dave. Congratulations on the 7-hour finish. Another notch in the Ultra Belt. Look forward to hearing the race report. So, really do appreciate for hearing from everybody. It was a great experience out there. It was very hard doing the recent 50K in the heat. And I don't think that's a really good thing for me to do going forward in my life. If I continue to do that kind of stuff just for my ability level. So I will be seeking out spring races, training through the winter, focusing on that more. And I will miss the training cycle and doing that late, you know, second, early summer ultra. I've kind of done them over the last couple of years, but it's not good for me and I just can't do it anymore. So, well, I really appreciate everybody that wrote in this week. If you want to send me an email, you can do that send that to ashlanddave@gmail.com. I really do enjoy reading the emails from listeners of the show, especially the ones who've listened for so long. We've had these dialogues going on for years. But I really like listening, hearing from new listeners. So if you've listened to the show for a while and you have not sent in an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, please do. Let me know how long you've been listening and where you hail from, like I've already said, and what kind of running you do. I like engaging people in dialogue about running. Sometimes I'm slow to respond, but once a dialogue gets started, I do try to keep it up, and I do enjoy that. I'm just kind of, I don't do the instant stuff. I'm not so good with that. I kind of get on the computer when I'm ready to, and I do have a smartphone, but it's just hard to keep up with the instant messaging and the text and stuff that people want instant responses to. I'm a little slower. I like to kind of slow things down a little bit, kind of like my running. So thanks for listening. There'll be another show coming out soon. This is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.